Good morning, beautiful friends, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening to this. I am recording this at 7:13 in the morning in my little garden at Karuna. And this is one of the only times I may be sitting in this garden in the morning because I'm going through a death right now and everything is about to change. I can feel it in every molecule of my body, and I've known it was coming. I could feel it. This is not something sudden. And I was thinking or feeling something that it's a beautiful thing to die gracefully. It's a beautiful thing to die mindfully. And what do I mean by that? Die mindfully. To die knowing that you're dying and to let go, to not fight it, to trust that each death is also a new beginning. In fact, they go hand in hand. And in fact, I think in our Western culture, there's so much fear of death. There's so much resistance around death. And yet in other cultures and other traditions, death is a celebration because it's a doorway that we walk through. And now, what do I mean when I say death? Do I mean like I'm physically going to die? No, that's not what I mean. I mean, that could happen. That could happen any day. Death could come for us any day. But what I'm referring to is more of the death of a certain identity, an ego death. The death of who I know myself to be, or how I know life to be, or death of my current reality. Death of current patterns, death of current clothes, death of the current way of doing things. I'm starting my yoga teacher training in about 4 days. Today is April 2nd. Yeah, it starts on April 6th. And that is stepping into a huge doorway, a huge golden portal shimmering with violet fire. And I have no idea what's on the other side. And if you know my story, you know that I have been living at Karuna Atitlan, which is an incredible community for artists and seekers and yogis and people who are striving and reaching and doing and creating. And I moved in here after a really transformative silent retreat about 128 days ago, where I got a lot of clarity on how I was not living up to the ideals that I wanted for myself and my life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so I came out of that silent retreat really with a lot of clarity of some things that I needed to change. And I proceeded to get sober. I proceeded to break up with my partner. I proceeded to change my diet and start learning about Ayurveda. I proceeded to start meditating and doing yoga every single day and really just taking responsibility for my energy. So at that time, I felt very, very strongly that I needed to move back into Karuna. And so I moved out of my beautiful luxury apartment overlooking the lake with my hot bathtub and my fireplace and my beautiful kitchen. And I gave all that up because it felt very, very important that I move into Karuna. And that's how evolutionary impulses work. You know, suddenly it's like, I feel like I have to go to this place, or I have to leave this place, or, you know, just this, you know, it's like if you think of the journey of the caterpillar, it's like suddenly like my body feels weird and I just feel like I need to just contract and curl up and wrap myself in spit and make this cocoon. You know, it's like suddenly, you know, everything was fine. I was munching on leaves and living my life, but suddenly I just gotta curl up and die, you know. And maybe that's what it feels like for the caterpillar, that he's curling up and dying. I mean, inside the cocoon, they liquefy. The caterpillar's body liquefies and turns into goop. And I often wonder, like, does the caterpillar think? Does the caterpillar feel during that time? Does the caterpillar make itself wrong for wanting to turn into goop and completely change what it is and who it is? Does the caterpillar know that it's becoming a butterfly? Does it have a sense that this death is also the new beginning of something far more beautiful? Or is the caterpillar just responding from moment to moment to what feels right? So 128 days ago, it felt really right for me to move back into Karuna. Oh, just now, as I said that, the sun just crested over the mountain and I just got the first rays of morning light in my eyes. So at one point in my story, 128 days ago, it felt very important for me to move back to Karuna to take on this little house as my painting studio. And now, 128 days later, it feels very important that I move out of Karuna and renounce all my possessions. Not all, but I'm aiming for like letting go of 85 to 90% of my possessions, and that process starts today. Well, the process started a while ago, but I'm actually doing the physical shedding today. So, you know, I like to think of it as we jump to these next levels of our evolution. I like to think of it as it's like you're moving through a portal, and the portal is the size of the eye of a needle. And in order to get through that portal, you have to let go of everything. Physically, mentally, emotionally, it just requires this big letting go. And with that letting go, you know, also the being willing to be uncomfortable and to be in that space of not knowing. So I'm moving out of Karuna, getting rid of as much of my stuff as possible. I'm going to put whatever the rest of the things that I really want to hold on to in the storage closet here. And then I'm going to go with the lightest bag possible to my yoga teacher training at Kobe and Ananda's place through the Kula Collective. And if you want to learn more about their yoga teacher trainings, go to thekulacollective.com. And it's spelled K-U-L-A, thekulacollective.com. So you can learn more about where I'm going. So I'm moving out of my house, and I'm going to the Kula Collective, or I'm going to Kobe and Ananda's for a 30-day yoga teacher training for all of April 2021. And then after that, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea where I'm going to go, where I'm going to live. I don't even know what I'm going to want at that point. And it's okay. I've been at this crossroads many times in the past 7 years since I started making videos online and traveling the world and figuring it out, you know, sometimes month by month, most of the times month by month. I had no idea what was going to happen next month or next week or even tomorrow, or how I was going to pay for any of it or how I was possibly going to survive. But I kept doing a free fall into the arms of the unknown. And magic unfolded. It's much harder for magic to unfold when we're holding on to the old. It's much harder for the mystery to weave into a glorious new reality when we have our fists firmly clenched around the old reality. And the funny thing about that is, like, a lot of times, you know, people will, they'll talk about how much they want to change their lives, how much they want something new. And yet they hold on so tightly to the old. They're not willing to step into the mystery, you know? You don't get a new reality perfectly laid out for you and with the knowledge, the perfect knowledge of exactly how everything's going to happen and how it's going to go and how you're going to pay for it. And, you know, just, you don't get the hows in advance. You don't even get the what in advance. I mean, you can visualize and dream and imagine the kind of new reality you want, but, you know, it never goes the way that... I believe in speaking in I statements. Speaking in I statements is one way that I take responsibility for my own reality. So instead of being like, you know, when you do this and you do this and you step into a new, reel back. I'm going to take responsibility for my own reality here. And I encourage you to do the same. You know, I don't get to know how it's going to work out in advance. In fact, I was just sitting down here, so I came down here to the garden and I lit a candle to open a little sacred space and I called on the four directions, honoring the new beginning of the east, the sacred fire of the south, the watery emotions of the west, and the grounding northern star of the north. And I called them in and I really spoke my feelings out loud. And I admitted, you know, yeah, I feel a familiar, yeah, kind of fear or anxiety or questioning of like, how is this going to work out? What am I stepping into? Should I hold on to the house? Should I keep my options open? Should I, and then it's like, wait, no. Trust. Because I've been at this junction so many times before where I was giving it all away, where I was stepping into the new, where I didn't know. And you know what? Every time, it worked out just beautifully. Especially when I trusted. So each death is an opportunity to trust and to practice trusting. Trusting God. Trusting in spirit. Trusting that your angels are there and they're listening. My angels are there and they are listening to me. And I just have to make a practice of calling to them. Because I'm a firm believer that I have an army of angels by my side. But I have to make the battle cry. I have to be the leader, you know, leading them, asking for what I need, making those declarations to God, to the universe, that I believe. So I don't know what's ahead of me. And here I am on the day of the Mayan calendar, 12 Kat. Kat is the energy of the net. It is the energy of our life experiences or the things that we've accumulated in our net, in what we have gathered up. And 12, the number 12, the numerology of the number 12 is our life experiences. So today is a day to review what's in my bundle. And that's very fitting. And that's in fact why I imagined I would do my inventory of my physical possessions on this day and do the work to let some things go. And you know, that's the power of doing the inventory. We see what's on our shelves, what's in our net, what are we carrying? And if we really want the new, this is the time to make space by letting go of the old. Now, letting go of the old is a really, really challenging process because, you know, I am emotionally attached to my stuff. There are stories, you know, people gave me things. I like things. I have an affinity. I have great affection for so many of my possessions. Letting go is so easy to say, but it's much harder to do. And yet this is a cleansing process that when we do it, this is part of freedom. You know, so many people look at my life and they say, oh, you're so lucky to travel as you do. You're so lucky to have this life. It's like, I don't feel lucky on days like this where I'm being called to purge, where I'm being called to cut away pieces of myself, of my identity. This does not feel like luck, my friends. This feels like going into surgery and having to make choices about what parts of myself to cut. That is not luck, nor is it comfortable, nor is it fun. But as Ava Rose would say, it's very cute. It's a very cute process. You know, I'm so accustomed to resisting and trying to fix things and having the sense of like, oh, this is wrong, this is bad. And my teacher, Ava, she would tell me that, that's cute. You don't need to resist. Because it's all beautiful and it's all part of the process of living a full life. And that is beautiful. Because life is beautiful when we let it be beautiful, when we don't resist it. Because even the lows can be beautiful. Even the disappointments and the frustration and the sadness and the anxiety and the trauma can be sacred when we let it be sacred. because sometimes my greatest pains and traumas have been a part of my greatest teachings and my greatest evolution and gaining clarity on who I want to be for myself and who I want to be for others. Toby is looking at me from over, from on the deck upstairs, little patio. He showed up yesterday and he was so skinny again. It's like I gave the family the big bag of dog food and it's like, are you using the food? Are you giving the food to the dog? Because I can see his ribs again. And it's like, what do I do? So possibly against my better judgment, I fed him again, but and now he's here. Sometimes it's really hard to choose what to feed. What and who to feed, because whatever you feed will keep coming back. So if you feed conflict with more conflict, it will grow stronger and keep coming back. But if you don't feed something, it will naturally fall away. If I didn't feed Toby, he would naturally go someplace else. If I don't feed my anger and my sadness with more reasons to be angry and sad, they will naturally, over time, fall away. Part of becoming who it is you're meant to be, part of becoming who I am meant to be, is to stop giving energy to the parts of myself that are not my true essence, to stop feeding the conflict. Stop feeding the anxiety with thoughts that create more anxiety. So instead now when I see a thought that comes up that wants to feed my anxiety, instead I go, oh, you're cute. You're cute. Do you want a hug? I don't resist it. Yesterday I came back and Weepy, the dog, was there was no one here, and she was so excited to see me because she's very, very codependent. And I went and I lay down in the hammock, and she was jumping up, and okay, Weepy. And I was petting her, and then I kind of pulled back, and then looking at her, and she just kind of leaps up and and scratches me in the face. She was so excited. She scratched me right across the lip, and I grabbed my lip and I'm like, oh! And my first response was an old response of like wanting to get angry and like, ah, Weepy, rah, you know. But then I remembered Ava, and so instead I just breathed and said, okay, that was really cute. That was really cute. You're so excited. You're so cute. So instead of getting angry and feeding my anger with resistance, instead I just took a breath and okay, oh wow, that was really cute. Oh, this pain on my lip, it's all scratched. This is really cute. My experience is really cute. And then I turned to the tree next to me and I touched the tree and I said, can you please take this energy, this hot energy that I feel? And I just put it into the tree and it just kind of took it. I didn't even do that consciously, but I just kind of trusted what felt right in the moment. And I realized that was actually probably really a wise thing to do. Like, oh, I have this energy I'm working with it. I want to transmute it here. Nature, can you help me? Put my hands on the tree and it just kind of... Because here's the thing about nature and Mother Earth and the power of the Earth is the Earth can transmute energy. You know, it's like if you put some rotting food or even a rotting body into the Earth, what happens? It decomposes. It composts. And it becomes the soil for new life. So that's an example of how the earth can transmute energy, especially if we ask it to. So, death. Death is change. Death is a new beginning. Death is much harder when we go into it fearful and without faith. Death is much more easeful when we can welcome it with open arms and say, I trust you, I trust myself, I trust this initiation, I trust this passage. I don't know where this is leading me, but I trust that this is my path. I trust my path, and I trust that Spirit is taking me where I need to be for my soul's highest evolution and for my highest healing in this moment. And, you know, speaking of which, I can use my intention. You know, setting an intention for a death is a powerful tool in the process. So I hereby set my intention for the death that I am moving through and the purge I am conducting today. My intention is that this death and this process be for my highest healing and my highest growth on my soul's path. My intention is to step into this death with grace and with mindfulness and with trust. My intention is, as I notice the fearful feelings or thoughts coming up, to come back into the energy of Ava and call it cute, and to not offer resistance, to offer acceptance. I accept what I'm feeling right now as worthy and beautiful and as sacred. I accept what I'm thinking as sacred, and I choose to give life to trust, and I choose to pull away the food from the thoughts that would encourage me to experience the sensations of anxiety or fear. Oh, good morning, Roxy Bobby. Roxy Bobby just showed up. Hi, sweet creature. Hi, sweet being. Oh, the grandmother wolf just arrived to bless this moment, because every creature we meet is our sacred teacher. Hi, sweet love. Hi. Hi, Trunaka Ashakas. Me Echaku Uyanakashas. Yes, let's share. I invite you to listen with your heart and not your mind. Bahena Chekas, Sana Chekas, Uya Chanakaya, Uya Kanahe, Uya Nana Che. Aya Chanakaish. The dogs are scrambling, they're doing their tap dance on the patio. Pana chana kesash, pana chana kesash. Yuna kana hey, yuna kana hey, 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 Janaka Sanaka Shay, Janaka Sanaka, hey, 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 hey. Ah, Pasha kana sekash, Muya kana keles, Pashe kushanaka suya, Maya kana shaya kasashas, Pana chakea, Junaka sheka sayak inakuloi, Payaka shaka si, chaka sai, chaka so. May you die gracefully and emerge like the beautiful caterpillar into the butterfly of the new you.